Pastor Dave Roth offers a balanced perspective on wealth.
If you have a lot of stuff, that's good. It's not a bad thing. In fact, some of what God has given you, he has given you so that you will enjoy it, not to hoard it, not just to protect it, not to be paranoid about it. He's given it for your enjoyment. But don't get attached to it. Don't count on it. Make sure that you have a loose grip on what you have so that you're able to give to others and share and ultimately to be able to invest in heaven and things that matter most in eternity and realize that that's what lasts forever.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's not hard to see that many are going through life as a slave to wanting and getting more. No matter how much they have, it never seems to be enough. Would that describe you? Well, God calls us to be content and live with a different mindset than the world around us. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see what it means to be wealthy and what we can learn from perhaps the wealthiest man who ever lived. We'll meet you in the Proverbs as Pastor Dave Roth shares more from our series, Smarter Living.
You know, gotta tell you, with everything that I've said about wealth and poverty, there's some wealth that is not good. Some wealth will get you into trouble. Some wealth people accumulate by doing illegal things, immoral things. So he says you just can't look at somebody and see, wow, they have a lot. They must be really special to God, because you can do bad things with your wealth and you can attain your wealth in a negative way. So he's kind of qualifying a lot of the other things that he's been saying and says, you know, not all wealth is necessarily good wealth. Now turn back to chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. So after everything else that he said about wealth, about riches, we need to remember and we need to understand that he says, riches are good. Riches are a blessing from God. Riches will help your, you know, relationships. Riches are things that can allow you to share with God and to give to others, and all that's good. But, he says, do not trust in your stuff. Do not trust in your riches, because they can come and go. And the more you are trusting in your riches, the more vulnerable you become. Now, if you are trusting in your riches, you can't enjoy your riches because you're worried about losing anything that you have. If you are, you know, have a lot, but you're afraid of losing it, you're really not wealthy. Because the idea of being wealthy is, I can have some peace because I'm good, I'm taken care of. And so he says, don't trust in it. And then here in chapter 11 and verse 4, he says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Now he gets really serious. Because he says, as nice as it is to be rich, as good as it is to have stuff and to celebrate that and to appreciate it and enjoy it before God, those things are all going to end someday. Nothing lasts forever, as many people have said. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. You know, you can't take it with you. And so he says, whatever you have today, everything that I've said about riches, that's for now, that's for life. But there is an afterlife. And that's something that you need to think about too. Because when you, ultimately, every one of us will one day die and we will face God. And you're not going to be able to buy your way out of this. Life tends to be, no matter how much you have, if you live your life thinking that you can buy your way out of everything, even in life, you're going to find things that you can't buy your way out of. But if not, man, when you see God, when you face him, and he says, so, Why should I let you into heaven? What have you done that merits eternal life? There's only one right answer to that, and that is Jesus died for me, and he gave me eternal life. And so I can't give you a tip that's going to get me into heaven. You can certainly invest in heaven. The scripture is very clear about that. But ultimately, to go to heaven, it's just about what your relationship is with Jesus Christ and whether you've accepted his grace and his love. Now, another scripture that's not in Proverbs kind of summarizes all of these verses that we've looked at here in Proverbs. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's a good summary of all this stuff, where Paul is telling Timothy how to talk to people who are rich. And he says in verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. You know, it comes from God, so don't act like you deserve credit. Nor to trust in uncertain riches. You can't count on them always being there. But in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they would be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, get a grip on eternity. So Solomon in the Old Testament and Paul in the New Testament, they both agree, hey, if you have a lot of stuff, that's good. It's not a bad thing. In fact, some of what God has given you, he has given you so that you will enjoy it, not to hoard it, not just to protect it, not to be paranoid about it. He's given it for your enjoyment. But don't get attached to it. Don't count on it. Make sure that you have a loose grip on what you have so that you're able to give to others and share and ultimately to be able to invest in heaven and things that matter most in eternity and realize that that's what lasts forever. So when we look at all of these ideas about wealth, how does that apply to us? Like I said, we're all wealthy compared to most of the world. So you can't just judge wealth based on relative wealth, but if you could, you'd realize that, man, compared to almost everyone in this world, we are all really wealthy. But how do you define wealth? Well, the Hebrew word for wealth, it's the word hon in the Hebrew. The word actually means enough. And that's really informative to me, enough. When you are truly wealthy, the best thing that you can have is to say, I have enough. In a famous interview with John D. Rockefeller from Standard Oil years ago, somebody asked him, so you are the richest man in the world. So how many millions are you going to settle on? How much is really enough? And he said, just one more million. And that's so often the way that people live, and we all do it. Whatever level of strata of society in which our lives exist, if we are living thinking, I know what I have, but if I can just get a little more, then you'll never truly be wealthy because you'll never feel like you have enough. Now, having enough has nothing at all to do with how much you have. That's really not the point, because there are billionaires who think they don't have enough. And there are people who live in primitive places where all they do is have a shack and they have to run out and kill their dinner every night, and they feel satisfied and they have enough. Having enough is a mindset. It's being able to decide, you know what, right now, I think I have enough. I'm not going to be a slave to getting more. Now, that doesn't mean that you stop work, that you don't get any more, that you don't accumulate, you just get rid of everything. But what it means is that if this is what I have, then I am blessed. I don't need more to know that God loves me, to feel that I'm lucky. Now, you know, this is for Christians, this is so crucial. Paul talked about it as being, I've learned that when I have a lot or when I have nothing, I've learned to be content. Why? Because we have a belief that, as Paul says, God says he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory that are in Christ Jesus. So this is an important theological concept and a practical concept for us to understand. If you believe that God will provide all of your needs, then what are you complaining about? Why do you feel like you need more? Why do you feel like there's, you know, well, if I can just get this? See, if theologically we have a conviction that says, God is so generous to me that I have more than I could ever desire. And I will enjoy it, but I will share it. I won't hang on to it. I won't trust in it. Guess what? Without acquiring one more thing, you have discovered what it is to feel wealthy because you just go, I have enough. Now, what a horrible thing to live your whole life thinking that if you get more, then you will feel like you have enough. You'll be constantly chasing it. You'll be constantly hanging on to it. You can't even enjoy what you have because it's all ringing up in your head, oh no, if I do that, then I can't do this. And see, in our society, with the invention of credit, we've made it very simple for people to get what they want without God providing it. So we just like, I decide what I want, and then I'll just pay the bills somehow. And so instead of adjusting our lifestyles to what our revenue is, instead of living on what God has given us that he calls wealth, instead we try to, you know, we create debt, we put ourselves in the hole because we're basically saying, what God has given me isn't enough, but I'm going to go get it anyway. And that becomes such a treadmill. That becomes such a hopeless way of living our lives because then the debt costs us a lot of money. Then we have less, and then we bury ourselves in a hole because we have so many things that we have to have. I have to live in a certain place. I have to live in a certain house. I have to have certain provisions. I have to be able to make certain decisions. And therefore, I think I need to somehow produce stuff that's going to make me happy, that's going to make me satisfied. True wealth is to look at what you have and to go, this is more than I need. I am so blessed. God has been so good to me. And that's what Solomon would call wealth. That's what the Apostle Paul would call wealth. And we will never be wealthy until we learn to be content with what we have, until we learn how blessed we truly are. No acquisition is ever going to fulfill us if we can't be fulfilled with what we've already acquired. All we'll do is run ourselves into a deeper hole. And ultimately, it's an accusation that says, God hasn't provided for me. He said he would, and he hasn't. And that's why my life is dissatisfied. That's why I'm feeling empty. And that's why I need to spiral myself into more debt so that I can provide what God hasn't provided for. True wealth, the key to it, is to begin to realize how blessed we are, to be thankful to God for what he has given us, to enjoy what we have, to not blame others, to not, you know, try to get from others, is to say, I'm going to adjust my life to where I can live like a wealthy person who can afford to share, who can afford to relax, who can praise and thank God for what he has done. That's what wealth is like. And People who have that kind of wealth, you can't define wealth based on how much somebody has. You can define it based on the level of satisfaction and peace and joy and generosity that someone expresses from their life. Somebody who won't share with others really isn't successful at all. Someone who can't give to God's work, they aren't really successful at all. I don't care how much they make. And we're living our lives so often, never experiencing the wealth that God wants to bless us with. Suggestion this week, if you want to put some of this into practice, thinking about it. First of all, look at how much you actually have and really thank God for what you have. Appreciate what you have instead of thinking about what you want to get. An interesting experiment would be to spend this week and don't buy anything. Just don't buy anything. I mean, there's nothing that you're going to buy this week that you absolutely have to have. Even if you go, what about food? Well, for one thing, our refrigerator, our cabinet, there's plenty in there to eat. And for most of us, if we starved ourselves for a week, it would probably be a good thing. So, but what if you just didn't spend money? Oh, the business world would freak out because our whole economy functions based on people spending money, buying things they don't need. But what about just for a week? To say, I'm not going to buy anything. Or if I'm going to buy something, it's going to be for somebody else. I'm not going to buy anything for me because I'm rich, because I'm wealthy, because I'm blessed. What would that look like in our lives? I think, you know, one thing that we could do is if you, you know, invite somebody to go out to lunch or dinner and pay for it. You know, wealthy people, I've known some people who are pretty wealthy, and they, like, won't let you pay. Be that guy. Who I remember Ed Parker, who was one of my karate instructors. He brought karate to the United States for the first time. He's called the father of American karate. But whenever I would go out with him, there's no way he was going to let me pay. He said, the only guy I ever let buy me dinner was Elvis. So I'm like, okay. But I remember one time we drove down to San Diego for a black belt test. And we took everybody from that whole school down there out for dinner. But the time was running late, and we had to get back up to Pasadena. Then I had to get home. And so he excused himself and said, yeah, I'm sorry, guys. We're not going to be able to stick around and eat. But then on the way out, he paid for everyone's dinner. And I thought, we didn't even get to eat, and you paid for it? But that's what satisfied people do. That's what wealthy people do. They want to bless somebody. And so, you know, you can do that. It can be, you know, at Del Taco on Tuesdays. But just pay to say, I can do this. Don't, like, scrutinize and analyze everything that you do. But maybe you have stuff that you could give it to somebody else and they would enjoy it more than you do. That's what wealthy people do. That's what satisfied people do. If we begin to make these kinds of decisions in our lives, you'll figure out how good it feels to be satisfied, to be content, to feel like, wow, I am so blessed. If you don't feel like, wow, I am so blessed, it isn't because of what you have or don't have. It's because of your attitude about what you have, don't have, and think you need. Wealth can be created in a moment, deciding to realize how wealthy you truly are. But now, if you're here today and you've never really, you know, you think, well, some of this stuff sounds good. And the truth is, even if you don't believe in Jesus, even if you don't think there's a God, if you just put into practice what Solomon's saying, your life will be so much better. It will. But at the same time, you do have to think of that one thing. Everything you have here is going to end someday for you. And someday you're going to have to explain what you did with your life. The crazy thing is, the only truly free thing in life is the answer to the question, where are you going to spend eternity after you die? The answer is, if you will accept Jesus Christ, he paid for your sin, He wants to give you a free ticket to heaven, no strings attached. And it's up to you to respond to that. If you have Jesus, if you have your eternity taken care of, the other stuff isn't even going to matter that much. You know, you may get into a point where I really don't have money to eat. Hey, great. Lose a few pounds. Then eventually, if it keeps going, you die and you go to heaven. It's like, you're set. But if you're here and you've never done that, you've never received the free gift of an eternity in heaven, I just want you to know God loves you so much. Everything that he has blessed you with on this earth was just so that he could give you a picture of how much he cares about you, of how good he is, of how much he wants you to be happy. Eternally, that's the real deal. Get that taken care of, and it's free. The stuff down here, you know, it really won't mean as much to you. You'll be able to hold on to it a little less. You'll be able to have a healthier perspective on it today as well. There'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason, come on down and get some prayer. But especially if you've never taken care of a little thing called the rest of eternity, the gift is here. You can receive it. So come down after the service. Get right with God. Become wealthy beyond your imagination. And then see what he does in your life now. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be wealthy, and he wants you to feel wealthy. He wants you to feel like somebody who doesn't have a worry in the world about being provided for. So come on down if you need prayer after the service, and we'd love to see you. Join us in being those who realize that when it comes down to it, after the worst thing possible happens and you die, the best thing possible, the inheritance that he has for you, it's just amazing.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to wrap up our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the wealth that you have shared with us. We all have more than we deserve. And then we have heaven to look forward to. That's amazing. God, for people here today who don't know you, I pray that you would help them to realize that this free gift is real, and it's true. And if we receive it, we'll have it. Help them not to miss this because it just sounds so simple and so obvious. But because it's free, help them to make sure they take you up on this. God, we're sorry for the times when in our minds, we think that we just don't have enough. Help us to learn to be content, even with nothing. And help us to look for signs in our lives of how good you are and how much you've blessed us. We thank you. And we're sorry for getting stuck in a mentality that makes us feel less than wealthy. Help us to see, open our eyes to see our wealth this week, and help us to live as grateful, generous, joyful people who have a rich dad who has taken care of everything for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe will look at one of the seven deadly sins, greed. We'll see how it affects us as we continue down the pathway to smarter living. This program is furnished on this station by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.